Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Christmas pay dates may be landing a bit earlier this month, given the way the days are falling, which means people will have to eke out the December wages for a bit longer in January. We're going to be giving you a few tips on how to make the money last with Connor Pope shortly. But for people who are wondering where the money is going to come from, they have different considerations at play. And Louise Bayliss, Head of Social Justice and Policy at St Vincent de Paul, is on the line. Louise, good evening to you.
Good evening, Colin.
Can you give us the picture this year on what kind of numbers you're dealing with and whether that's up or down on last year in terms of people looking for your help?
Well, last year we had close to 250,000 requests for assistance throughout the year. This year we are going to go over the 250,000. We're tracking about 8% higher than this time last year. And also, not only are we tracking 8% higher, what we are noticing is usually people would call us about one thing, you know, an electricity bill or something untoward that came up. But when people are contacting us, there's multiple issues. They're feeling anxiety about financial pressures, from energy to food to heating to rent. All of that is coming in and people are struggling and coming to us for those issues.
And is that that increase of 8% in calls up from 250,000 last year, what's that being driven by? We've heard a lot about people's energy bills. Is that a big part of it?
That's a massive part of it. Last month, November, we had 5,800 calls specifically about energy, about electricity bills and heating costs. So that's the highest we've ever had. And that's really concerning. So it is the cost of heating, but it is also the cost of food. I suppose when we look at saying inflation has started to go back up again, we look at the rates, but people on lower incomes experience inflation in a lot severe ways, because at the moment inflation is tracking high on those things that you aren't discretionary spending, such as rent, heating and food. It's, you know, costs are coming down for luxury items, but not when you're using all your money for those things. So inflation, when you're on a lower income, disproportionately hits you, and people who are struggling a lot worse than they were this time last year. And bear in mind as well, Colin, this time last year, it was just after the budget, we would have had the double child benefit payments. We would have had one-off payments for people on social welfare that really did get them over the high costs of winter. That's missing this year, and we're seeing it on the number of calls we're receiving in.
And with the overall cost of living, you know, in terms of groceries, energy and everything else that people are dealing with, the profile of people you're dealing with, has it changed since what Vincent de Paul was dealing with in the past?
Yeah, well, before we would have very much dealt with people who were existing on social welfare or struggling very much on minimum wage jobs. What we're seeing now is we're seeing a rise of people who are working in what would be considered relatively good jobs, but because of the cost of childcare, energy, mortgages, rent, all the costs that would be associated, those people are struggling now. And people who would have previously been donors are now recipients of our help. You know, our members talk about going into houses where there's a car in the driveway. They know the person is working, but when they go in, there's no food. There's empty presses, or there's, you know, they're struggling with an electricity bill and they don't know. They're worried about being cut off. And I would say to people, of course, at the moment there is a moratorium on energy till after Christmas, but it's still a worry for people to have that high bills hanging over their heads.
Okay, and your volunteers distributing envelopes and QR codes on them around the country. Louise Bayliss at St Vincent de Paul, thanks very much for joining us. Now, staying with that theme of money, and as I said at the outset, the pay packet will be landing early in December, with a meaning that it'll have to be eked out for a bit longer into January. Connor Pope is with us now. Connor, you literally watch prices for a living, Price Watch in the Irish Times is your speciality. So what's the payday gap and what are people facing into?
Well, Colm, you said a bit longer. The reality is it's going to be a whole lot longer. So a lot of people will get paid this Friday, and they won't get paid then till the last Friday in January, which happens to be January the 30th, which means there's 40 days between paydays over the Christmas period. And it's not just any payday, because the Christmas payday has to, the Christmas wages have to do a lot of heavy lifting for a lot of people. So they have to buy presents, they have to buy Christmas food, they have to go out partying, they have to do all of those things. So an awful lot of people, when they wake up in early January, will have the worst class of financial hangover. And I think T.S. Eliot described April as the cruelest month. But for many people who are listening to the programme now, it's definitely going to be January.
Okay. So in terms of avoiding some of that cruelty, what can people do? What would your advice be?
Well, I have to stress here, Colin, that a lot of this is do as I say and not as I do, because I have been the soldier who's found himself absolutely smashed in the middle of January. But the thing that I would suggest everybody does when they get paid just before Christmas is they take out a sum of money from their pay packet and they make it harder to reach. So they don't just leave the money in their current account. They might withdraw 200 quid from an ATM and they might put that money in an envelope and they'll say, OK, that's going to be my January spending. And 200 quid is not going to be a lot to see people through the 4 weeks that they'll be going from the start of January to the end of January, but at least it'll be something. And it's critical to make it hard to access. Now, I don't suggest that you make it impossible to access, but you just make it more difficult so that you're not just kind of mindlessly spending over the course of Christmas going, ah, sure, there's loads of money in my account. It'll be grand. I'll just tap and go. I'll tap and go and tap and go. And then you realise that you've got nothing left in January. That's the first thing I would do. And if you do that, even subconsciously or psychologically, it has an impact because you know you have something then for January. And then when the New Year's bell or the New Year bells have chimed and January dawns, I think it's very important that people take a cold, hard look at their finances, sit down and work out exactly how much they're going to need. So they should set themselves up, and this sounds really tedious, and I do feel like I'm the Grinch when I say this, but they need to set some class of New Year's resolution and create a budget plan and say, okay, I have 250 quid, I have 300 quid, whatever I have until the end of the month, how am I going to spend it? And make yourself a budget plan and be really, really strict. It's not forever, it's just for the 28 days between the start of January and payday. Okay. And if you do that, you'll find yourself in a much stronger financial position.
Okay, maybe think of dry January, pack a lunch, cut down on the coffees.
All of this stuff, dry January is really key to this because, you know, a lot of people will be doing it, so you'll have that emotional and you'll have that support from other people when you're doing dry January. If you cut it out, it means that you're not going to the pub, you're not buying bottles of wine, and that will save you a few bob. The whole thing about packed lunches, I mean, I know it sounds really parsimonious, but if you're going into the office and you're not buying yourself your takeaway coffees and you're not buying yourself your sandwiches in the local deli or whatever it might be, it will cut corners. You don't need to be a hermit, because I think January is hard enough for people, so I do think you need to look at alternative ways to have a social life in January without spending money. That can be meeting your buddies in a park, that can be having come dine with me nights, that can be all sorts of things that kind of work and give yourself something to look forward to without it costing you a lot of money.
Okay, theme your social life around John Le Carre books and meet somebody on a park bench and exchange pleasantries via a newspaper. Conor Pope, thanks very much for joining us. We'll have to have you back in January to see how that's going for you. A former teacher of mine told me he worked in the buildings in London. He used to get his pay on a Friday, throw half it in an envelope and post it to himself so he still had something left on Monday. Back with news.